About a third hour. Let's keep this thing going. Welcome back. You are in the jungle, or welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. And as you know, this program is brought to you every single day by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And at the end of the last hour, we had a listener-generated segment. Parody Larry came in somehow, some way. And the question was something along the lines of, what jungle drop would you yell during sex? At Hitman Canadian responded to Larry by saying, quote, I am sitting here laughing in tears at my desk from that walk-off by Parody Larry. Jeremy Lanza, quote, Adam Hawk finally made a great EP decision on the show, War Parody Larry. DLH1029 tweets, War Parody Larry, period, point blank. Jamie in Green Bay, Larry just walked off with a Sheffield aluminum bat style homer. At Censored Buttock tweets, where is the golden ticket for Larry? He's Censored Buttock. Buttocks. We don't give golden tickets for phone calls like this. Parody Larry. Hey, Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, Jim. How are you, buddy? You know, as far as Wells' question goes, every time I have sex, during it, all I ever hear is, why? Why? And when I'm done, they always say, hit the road, Dak. And
that's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
The day that I start giving out golden tickets for contributions like that, you know, for the hack-off, sure. You don't get a golden ticket for something like that. A golden ticket is for a contribution that makes the show a hell of a lot better. All right, so you've had your fun. That was the last segment. Wells, it'll never get better than that. And for Parody Larry, that's not as good as it was, but Parody Larry's been chasing that one moment on the program on Radio Row where he got up on stage and got run and even got the Deadspin treatment for it. Parody Larry. Parody Larry got Deadspin treatment. And incredibly enough, Parody Larry somehow outlasted Deadspin. So that, it, I would argue that it will never, ever get better than that for Lawrence, but he keeps chasing and he keeps coming after and he keeps trying. Today was the most run he's gotten since he got run that day on Radio Row. You might remember.
Carolina Panthers will win the Super Bowl. Cammy plays like Superman and Peyton's going to fold. The Bay is going to party. The game is quite a show. But nothing can compare to Rome on Radio Row.
All right. Well, Larry, it was short.
Ten being good, I'd give it a one.
Hey, you know, I did hear, by the way, there's a rumor that Flatulence the Dump and John and Belittle Rock are going to upstage Coldplay with their new high school rap group, the Methanes. They're going to do Tell Me How My Ass Tastes and do a remix on
All right, Larry. All right, Larry.
Now you're done, Larry. Now you're done.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Could this guy have gotten any more comfortable than he did? That was, and you can tell by the crisp audio, that was in person. That was not on a phone line. That was 2016, Radio Row. Parody Larry got there, and he's like, man, I'm getting pretty comfortable up in here. They're not running me. I'm still here. I think I'll just keep running and spitting game. You can hear Kyle Brandt in the background laughing. And Larry just selling what he has. Methane blasts. Trying to do his song. I can't remember exactly how Deadspin put that, but like some radio dope got run off the row.
Give me back my son.
So that was Parody Larry's finest moment. Today was not as good as that, but some positive run. Deadspin actually said, doofus caller shows up on Jim Rome's set and gets run from the show in person. It's a great headline. They nailed that. All right, Larry. Take the rest of the year off. And by year, I mean 2020. It's not going to get any better than that, Lawrence. You know it isn't. Problem with Lawrence is like he gets that taste, man. He gets that hit. He gets that bit of the drug. He gets a little bit intoxicated by it, and he's like, all right, yeah, that felt good. Yeah, it's in my bloodstream. I'm back. And when things go poorly for him, I can't shake him. But when things go well for him, there's no getting rid of Lawrence. In fact, I'd be shocked if he didn't call back this hour. You can't be on twice in one day, Lawrence. All right, so back to the program. Somehow, one guy who is not on the hot seat. We talked about this in hour number one. Ron Rivera is out. Jason Garrett's on the hot seat. I would argue that Shermer, Patricia, et al., all guys could lose their jobs. Somehow the one guy who's not is Adam Gase. Somehow the guy who managed to lose to both the Dolphins and the Bengals in the same season has already been guaranteed that he'll be back next year. I mean, sure, why not? If you can get a coach who can find a way to lose to the Dolphins and the Bengals in the same season, you do whatever you can to hold on to that guy. There aren't too many coaches in the league who can get schooled, worked by the Bengals 22-6. In fact, when I say not too many, there's not another one at all. There's no other coach who has managed to do that this season. I'm sure that every front office in the NFL that is considering a coaching change saw how the Jets made Andy Dalton look really good and thought, man, we've got to get the next Adam Gase. Yeah, good luck with that, because there's only one Adam Gase. There's only one guy who can look at his offense, see the best weapon on that offense, Le'Veon Bell, and decide not to use that weapon. The Bengals went into Sunday's game against the Jets with the worst run defense in the NFL. So how many carries did Le'Veon Bell get? 20? 30? 35? Did this guy get the Walter Payton treatment and go for 40? Nope. 10 carries total for the game against the worst rushing defense in the NFL. I mean, to me, that's not just stupid. That's stupid and it's stubborn. Everybody knows Gase did not want Le'Veon Bell in the first place. And now that he's got him, he's doing everything he can not to use him. Now, I'm not saying that Bell is Walter Payton. I'm not saying he's the greatest running back in league history. But what I am saying is he's a three-time All-Pro, or I should say a three-time Pro Bowler and an All-Pro, and one of the freakiest weapons in the backfield, and your best offensive player, but only if you use him. You could use him to run against the worst rushing defense in the league, or you could have Sam Darnold chuck it around the yard 48 times. Bell should be Darnold's best friend. He should make life so much easier for Sam Darnold. He should make Gase look like a genius. Instead, Gase looks like a moron for refusing to use the guy. All right, so you didn't want Bell. You didn't want Bell. But you've got him. You may as well use him, right? I mean, he is your best offensive player. And the best coaches in the league adapt. They change their scheme to fit their players. They do not hammer round pegs into square holes. Like Bill Belichick. Belichick is a master at adaptation. He's incredible at adapting. He does not insist on playing one style. He looks at the talent that he has, and he figures out how to use that talent. But apparently Adam Gase is a better coach than Bill Belichick because he's not willing to adapt his scheme to fit his talent. Apparently, the Gase way is better. His way or the highway. The Gase way is more successful than the Patriot way. Because not only is Gase not using Bell, he's taking a run at Bell's style.
In certain runs, he's changed kind of his style, hit it more downhill. Especially the last four or five games, he's really done a good job of trying to make sure that we're staying ahead of the sticks. But for the most part, I feel like he has adjusted his running style to really benefit us, to try to keep us ahead of the sticks.
He's adjusted his running style? He's a downhill runner? What are you talking about? Le'Veon Bell is not a downhill runner, which is pretty much the whole point, right? He's patient. He waits. He looks. He finds the hole, and then he destroys defenses. And without getting all stat head on you, yes, he is getting two holes faster this year. But you know what else? He's averaging less than 50 yards per game. When he took his time, the guy was good for nearly double that amount. And yes, I know Pittsburgh had a better offensive line than the Jets, but Pittsburgh also had a way better coach than the Jets. And it's not just about Le'Veon Bell. If Le'Veon Bell is Exhibit A, then Ryan Tannehill is Exhibit B. Because according to the New York Daily News, Gase, quote, privately blamed Ryan Tannehill and other quarterbacks for finishing dead last in offensive plays per game in two of his three seasons with the Dolphins, end quote. All right, so now that Tannehill is not being coached by Gase, he looks like a completely different quarterback. In fact, he's transformed Tennessee's entire season. He may very well be the comeback player of the year in the league. He looks like not only a starting quarterback, but maybe a franchise quarterback. This guy gets away from Gase, and all of a sudden he's a new man. That's about as damning as you can get when it comes to being a head coach. Not just a head coach, but the alleged quarterback whisperer. Remember? If the quarterback gets better when he leaves, what the hell were you whispering to him when you had him? Oh, and for Gase's complaint that Tannehill and the other QBs in Miami were slowing down the offense, the Jets are 31st in the league in plays per game. Gase's offense was dead last in two of his three seasons in Miami and second to last in his first season. Right now. So all along, everybody thought the problem with Tannehill, or thought the problem was Tannehill. As it turns out, it was Gase. Because Gase goes to New York and gets the same results. Nothing's changed. Tannehill goes to Tennessee, and all of a sudden the guy's Joe Montana. Turns out the guy dumping sugar in the gas tank in Miami was not Tannehill. It was Gase, and he's doing the same thing in New York. This time, taking the best weapon the Jets have, and not only not figuring out how to best use it, but actually figuring out the worst way to use it. But yes, yes, definitely bring this guy back next year. Definitely tell us that awesome offense with this incredible genius is on the verge of exploding. Because it seems like guys get worse around Adam Gase, but they improve when they leave. As always, coach him up, eyes. Coach him up. Even though I know you won't. That guy's safe? That guy's not on the hot seat? G-A-S-E. Eyes, eyes, eyes. E-Y-E-S. Eyes, eyes, eyes. Yeah, I know you didn't want Le'Veon Bell, but you got him. Why don't you take advantage of it? Why don't you use him? And Tannehill, look at this guy. He literally is like a top five NFL quarterback since getting the opportunity there. Look it up. Look at the stats. He's playing as well as anybody right now. And he's no longer coached by Crazy Eyes. When we come back, one open segment, and then I've got a conversation with Mike Norvell. So you want to use the next segment. 1-800-636-8686. You can double back to anything that's happened already. You can bring up something we haven't gotten into. I want to talk Seahawk football. Also, I may or may not get here, but you see where there was a Globetrotter who jumped out of an airplane and threw one down. Some crazy dunk from 13,000 feet. May or may not get there. Michael Lombardi, after the program, is part of the Jim Rome podcast, EP107. Definitely will hit that up. Stay tuned. You are in the jungle. Open segment next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Dell's biggest Cyber Monday week ever for business. You can save on powerful computers with Intel Core processors plus free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL, or visit dell.com/SB. Cyber Monday. And I've got the ATP coming up, too. Not too late to submit a question. The ATP. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Submit the question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. All right, so there is a cliche in sports, right? Availability is the best ability. You've heard that. If you want proof of that, look no further than Trey Flowers and David Moore of the Seattle Seahawks. They went from yakking their guts out over the weekend to playing their guts out Monday night. You already know the Hawks ripped their 10th win of the season and may have taken control of the NFC West in the process. What you didn't know, necessarily, is that two of the game's biggest producers Monday night were in an all-out war with the flu before that all-out war with the Vikings. And for a few days, the flu was kicking their ass. According to a report from ESPN, a virus tore through the Seahawks locker room in the middle of last week, right before Thanksgiving. Six different players ended up on the final injury report. The two dudes who may have been hit the hardest were cornerback Trey Flowers and wide receiver David Moore. Well, a handful of the Seahawks said, bleep this, and went home. Flowers sticks around the facility, straps on a medical mask under his helmet during practice, and tried to play through, but had to stop multiple times to puke into a trash can between plays. I mean, this being a gamer, and then there's wearing a medical mask under your helmet and puking into garbage cans before running back into the huddle. Thanks, Alvin. Thanks for making it better, Alvin. Thanks for having a sound library, Alvin. Hope my man was packing Altoids that day. And remember, we're not talking about the game Monday night. We're talking about practice. Not a game.
Practice.
Not a game. Practice.
We're talking about practice. Not a game.
Not the game
that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
What are we talking about here?
I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example.
I'm just not doing that.
I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside.
Yes,
you know,
I am.
Like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice?
It's so good. So good. Ike, get that guy. I've never had AI on the show. We've never had AI. Get after that, old man. I know I'm supposed to lead. I know. I'm not shoving that aside. Yes, you are. It's exactly what you're doing. I know I'm supposed to do that. I'm just not going to.
I mean, how silly is that?
Anyway, linebacker KJ Wright said he had never seen anything like that before. Quote, "That is the first time I've ever seen somebody do that. Practice with a mask." So Flowers is out there on the field looking like a hospital patient, puking into a trash can. Meanwhile, David Moore had his mom come into town for the holiday and had to stare at a bunch of grub that he normally loves that he could not even attempt to get down. Quote, "On Thanksgiving Day, I was like, screw this. I couldn't eat. That's one of my favorite holidays, too. Because of the food, I felt bad. I couldn't eat my mom's food. I felt sorry for her." End quote. So never a good idea or never a good time to get the flu, especially one of those like crazy butt-kicking flus that you can't shake. But having it on Thanksgiving when your mom comes into town to cook is the worst. Not only did Moore miss out on turkey dinner, but he missed out on the next two practices on Friday and Saturday and lost 10 pounds while staying home from work. And let's just say he didn't drop that weight. He didn't cut weight from doing cardio. In fact, he wasn't looking to cut weight at all. He dropped 10 pounds. Trey Flowers told reporters he dropped 12 because of the flu. So you've got a couple of key guys losing a combined 22 pounds, rocking surgical masks to work, puking in garbage cans, skipping out on Thanksgiving dinner, and missing practice, all in the days and hours leading up to a critical Monday night game. So to me, just getting to CenturyLink would have been worth a co-employee of the month award for these two dudes. But they didn't just show up. They showed out, starting with Moore, who took the top off the Vikings defense for a 60-yard house call in the third quarter.
Russell's got time. He's got David Moore wide open. Moore makes the catch. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown.
Seahawks Radio Network. The only thing better than that new edition celebration afterwards is knowing that the leader of that dance had dropped 10 pounds the brutal way 2 days before. And on the Vikings' next drive, Moore's flew brother, Trey Flowers, put his stamp on the game, too.
Shotgun snap. Cousins drops back. Five. Line drive throw near sideline. It's intercepted. Picked off by Flowers at the 25. They say he was down when he leapt for the ball and hit the deck at the 25 on the near sideline.
Westwood won. You like that?
You like that?
Trey Flowers went from wearing a medical mask and yanking in garbage cans, yakking, 4 days earlier to picking off Cousins in the fourth quarter and giving the ball back to Russ, who then turned it into six. These dudes went legend on Monday night after the week they had leading up to it. And don't go looking for me to compare this to Mike Jordan's flu game back in 97. Unlike Mike, these guys actually had the flu and weren't faking it because they were hungover. Allegedly. Somebody get David Moore and Trey Flowers a belated turkey dinner right now, because now they can stomach it and they earned it. They earned the hell out of it and should enjoy every bit of putting that weight back on. Every bit of what they missed out while the rest of us were chowing down. They're chunking up. We're chowing down. Gamers. Wah! It's the sound I make when Adam Hawk comes in studio if you're not watching on the simulcast. Really quickly, the ATP. Dear Jim, I always hear the "Gimme Back My Son" drop on your show. I know it's Mel Gibson.
Give me back my son!
But what movie is it from?
Give me back my son!
Thanks. John in downtown Long Beach. That is from the movie Ransom in 1996. If you need a little context, here it is.
If I don't get the cash in 1 hour, this kid is dead.
I don't get my son back, and I mean real soon. You better kill yourself, because when I catch up with you, I'm going to take my time.
By the time we're finished, you're going to wish you weren't born.
I'll have your head on a pike. You understand me?
You, I'll kill him right now.
I want to talk.
You kill him. You kill yourself, you mother.
Give me back my son!
Hello!
You want him?
Yes!
You want him?
Daddy!
Ah! I'm glad you asked, John. Pretty intense.
Hey, John.
Hey, like I said, this is not a kid show. Pretty intense. I don't want to give up who got shot. You have to go see the movie yourself. Anyway, when that movie dropped, the reason that became a drop on the show is because they were running ads like nonstop, and it was constantly, give me back my son, give me back my son, give me back my son. One day I dropped that into a segment. I played it like 70 times. People were so pissed.
Give me back my son.
They were furious. They were furious, and then for a moment or two they liked it. Then they were furious. Then one of my bosses was furious. Like, the segment started off like, it was, okay, Rome, we get it. That was kind of funny.
Give me back my son.
And then it was not funny at all. And then once I hit like 45 or 50 times, it's like, well, this is really crazy and funny. And then when I got to 80, people were really furious.
Give me back my son.
Yet here we are 2 decades later, and it's still a drop.
Here we are.
Give me back my son.
Give me back my son.
Listen to that. Some really good acting there, Mel.
Give me back my son.
In context. In context, when you hear that thing play out in its entirety, some really strong acting.
If I don't get the cash in 1 hour, this kid is dead.
I don't get my son back, and I mean real soon. You better kill yourself, because when I catch up with you, I'm going to take my time.
By the time we're finished, you're going to wish you weren't born.
I'll have your head on a pike. You understand me?
You, I'll kill him right now.
I want to talk.
You kill him. You kill yourself, you mother.
Give me back my son.
Hello.
You want him?
Yes!
You want him?
Daddy!
Ah! Wow. I like the back and forth. You know, Sinise, Mel, they're threatening each other. Mel's finally had enough and just, give me back my son!
Give me back my son!
Rene Russo jumped in there at some point. It's not even like, give me back my wallet, give me back my phone, give me back my watch.
Give me back my son!
Give me back my son!
Give me back my son! Give me back my son!
That's where that came from. When we return, give me back my show, Mike Norvell.
Give me back my son!
Clones, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think to myself, give me back my show.
Give me back my
show, clones. Memphis Tigers head football coach Mike Norvell is next. But before I can do that, I've got a sports update. Here it is. All right, so one last segment, but it's a big segment. Fat segment. I've got Tom on the very back end. 1-800-636-8686. But before I get there, we are joined right now by the head football coach at Memphis. Fourth season with the Tigers. Led Memphis to their third straight division title this season. Led them to their first 11-win season in school history. Memphis is 11-1, 7-1 in conference play, number 16 in the AP and college polls. The American Athletic Conference Championship game is a big one. Cincinnati at Memphis, Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Mike Norvell is the head coach at Memphis. He joins us once again. Mike, nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on. And it's always good on championship week to get a little jungle karma. So definitely excited about it.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Championship week, Mike. Good to talk to you. Let me first ask you, coming off that win over Cincinnati on Friday night, you opened up with a kickoff return for a touchdown. We've talked about special teams in the past, but that was the program's 11th kickoff return for a TD in the last 4 years, which is the most in the country. So how do you explain the fact that even though the opposition knows your history with kickoffs, you're still able to execute and make teams play consistently?
Well, you know, it's something that's big in the culture of our program. And, you know, I'll never forget my first meeting here when I got the job at Memphis. They had gone 20 years without returning a kickoff or a touchdown. And I told the entire team that was a stat that was going to change. And we bought into that. We got some phenomenal players. Our kids, they believe in what we're asking them to do. They want to make an impact. We tell our guys all the time, this is a program that's built for playmakers. And whether that's utilizing you in the return game, you know, on offense or defense, it's our job to showcase the skills and talents that they have. And we've been able to do that. Even this year, we returned 3 kickoffs for touchdown and all by three different young men. And so there's a great culture here in place, but, you know, just some phenomenal young men and talented players.
It's a program built for playmakers, which brings me to my next point. Mike Norvell joining us. I mean, that was an enormous way to start that game, but you know Cincinnati, they were not going to lie down. You were up 20-17 early in the fourth quarter. 2nd and 7, you go with a reverse flea flicker. It was executed perfectly. It resulted in a 46-yard TD. What was the thinking going into that play, and then how pleased were you with the execution?
You know, it was. I thought our guys did a great job with that. You know, Cincinnati had the number one defense in our league, and anytime you get two top 20 teams competing against each other, you know, with a championship on the line, we were competing for the Western Division last week. You know, it's going to be back and forth, and we felt like we needed a spark. You know, it's something we had worked with that place the last couple weeks, and the opportunity to present itself. And you know, it's always good when you see the hard work that goes into to practice. To be able to execute a play at a critical time and for that to pay off on game day. And, you know, I thought Brady and DeMonte did a wonderful job in their execution. And, you know, it was a huge play in the game.
Mike Norvell joining us. All right, you mentioned Brady because later in the fourth quarter, your quarterback Brady White was picked off, but the defense went out and had back-to-back tackles for a loss as part of a 3-and-out that forced a punt. So how significant was that moment and how pleased were you with the defense overall in the second half?
Yeah, I think our defense has played at a high level. And if you look at our football team as a whole, you know, this has been a football team that's really built itself off its response. And that's what good teams do is that, you know, regardless of the situation, you go out there and you have to respond at a high level. And, you know, you've seen that throughout the year. You know, each phase of the game has had to carry its own weight and respond, you know, sometimes in some challenging circumstances. And, you know, that's what our defense did, you know, the other day, you know, especially there late in the game. And, you know, that's something that you're proud to see, the maturity and the growth of your team, of the individual players, and to be able to finish it out like we did was pretty special.
Memphis head football coach Mike Norvell is my guest. And then you have Kenneth Gainwell, who was named the Conference Rookie of the Year. He went for more than 100 yards from scrimmage against Cincinnati. He leads all freshmen in FBS in rushing yardage and all-purpose yardage. How special is he?
I mean, he's such a dynamic player, and he's a young man. When we recruited him, we knew that he had a chance to be one of those elite athletes and showcase type players. But you know, his growth, the development he's had in a short period of time here has been fun to watch. He's an incredible young man, and to see him really get thrust into the action early in the season when our starting running back Patrick Taylor went down, and he embraced every day. He prepares in practice, his work ethic, his the attention to detail which he brings, and then obviously the versatility he has. He's a dynamic threat out of the backfield as a pass receiver as well, and so just seeing his growth as each week's gone by, he's having a special season, and he's got a great career in front of him.
Mike, I know it's championship weeks, so you've got a lot of work still to do, but you've won three straight division titles. The team has won 11 games for the first time in history. Is it something that you and the players have allowed to sink in, or do you immediately shift to preparing for the next game?
It's always been about the next game, and I'll tell you, that's something that you even starting back in January of last year. I know we've talked before about the amount of change that we had within the coaching staff and all the lessons that were learned in these past couple of years. And really, this year's focus has been all about getting better each and every day. And I think our football team has done that. In really coming into this week, you go back to back having to play Cincinnati the last week of the season, and then here for a championship. And to be honest with you, it's not really about the opponent; it's about ourselves. And that's what our team has embraced, is that we have to go out there this week and be the best version of ourselves, correct the mistakes that we've made. And if we can do that and continue to do that play after play for 60 minutes on Saturday, I'll be able to live with whatever the outcome is. But I got a lot of faith in this team.
Mike, I guess in a way you just kind of answered my next question, but it is really kind of unusual. You're going up against Cincinnati again. You're coming off the win over Cincinnati on Friday night, so you're getting ready to face them for the conference title. And I get that the focus is on you, but what's that process like? How different is it when you face the same team twice in 8 days?
It's so very unique. I've never done this before in my coaching career. And there's been times we've played the same opponent twice in a year, but never back-to-back. And so we know it's going to be a challenge. We know there's going to be adjustments. There's going to be things that are probably unexpected that are going to show up, in the game on Saturday. But then there's also some familiarity, and really more than anything else, just the personnel, the way that the matchup played out last week. Cincinnati was without their quarterback this past week, so that'll probably be a pretty significant change here this Saturday. But for us, it's all about going out there and playing Memphis Tiger football. And if we can continue to focus on the little things, the details, and execute the plan that we have, I'm very confident in our team and what we'll work to do.
We're talking to Memphis head football coach Mike Norvell for another moment or so. It is championship week. You mentioned that they've got a quarterback switch. Probably the expectation is that Cincinnati will go back to Desmond Ridder at quarterback now that he's healthier. So how much does that impact your preparation?
Really, last week we prepared for him the entire week. So that was it was more of a shock last week when he didn't play than obviously coming back this week with him playing. And so we prepared at a high level these last couple of weeks. And we know regardless of whatever they throw at us, we're gonna have to be able to adapt and adjust to whatever we see. But he's a very talented young man. I mean, he's won 21 games over his career. Very experienced, composed. He can hurt you with his arm and his legs, and they do a great job with them with what they ask him to do within their schemes.
Mike, I know you're trying to keep everybody locked in and focused, but the fan base obviously is so fired up because of what a win on Saturday might mean in terms of not only the conference title, but what it would mean in terms of a bowl game. And to that end, the fans were lined up on Monday to buy tickets for the game. Any idea what the Liberty Bowl is going to sound like and feel like come Saturday?
I mean, it's going to be incredible, and it's something that this year, I mean, our fan base, the support that we have within this community, it's been special to see. Being able to host game day earlier this season, a sold out crowd of right around 60,000 people, all in blue. That was a special moment. And now also, you know, being able to host the championship game here, it's incredible to see. And I know that our fan base is excited. It's going to be a great atmosphere. We need it to be an incredible home field advantage. And I know all of Memphis is going to do their part.
And finally, amazing to see, especially given where you started. And I understand there's unfinished business once again. But as you know, there were times in the past where maybe the impression was that the school may have been reluctant to invest in football, but the investment is there now in terms of facilities and the results are showing up on the field. How much pride then is there for you that the investments and the commitments were made and you're paying it back with 37 wins and counting?
Well, you know, I'm so humbled for the opportunity, and you know, this is my first head coaching job, and I was grateful to be given the chance to lead this program, and for what we've been able to do and how we've been able to continue to progress it over the last 4 years. It's to see us now in our third straight championship game, and you know, with an all-time record for wins in a season. The great players that I get to coach each and every day that are winning, you know, not only on the field but off of it as well. It's what you hope for. And, you know, we've got bright days ahead of us, and, you know, it's all pointing towards this Saturday. And if we can find a way to be successful, knowing what that next step would be, it's a special time to be a Memphis Tiger, and you know, I'm honored to be able to lead this team.
You bet. Championship week. The American Athletic Conference Championship game is Saturday, Cincinnati at Memphis. They're going to run that thing back. Memphis 11-1, 7-1 in conference play, number 16 in the AP and the coaches' polls. And in his fourth season, joining us in the middle of championship week, Mike Norvell. Mike, so good to have you back. Listen, good luck this weekend, and always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Jim, and you have a great rest of the week, and go Tigers.
Mike Norvell joining us. Love it. Always good to have a coach on during championship week. Another good, good day here in the jungle. Huge call today. Brought to you by Dell. It is Dell's biggest Cyber Monday week ever for business. You can save on powerful computers with Intel Core processors plus free shipping. All you have to do is call 877-BUY-DELL. 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/SB Cyber Monday. My thanks to Mike Norvell, Mike Budenholzer, Bucks head coach, Bill Clark, UAB head coach. This email says, Jaime, I was curious if you've heard who the Bills will be sitting for the huge game against the Ravens. Because as we all know, Buffalo has no chance of winning and all. Sincerely, that idiot Bills fan who called.
But my real take is about the following week versus the Ravens. It's a home game. I don't think it's a winnable one. I don't think it's going to be close. I want to say we're a very proud franchise with a very proud coach. But if I were the Buffalo Bills, I would honestly possibly not play Josh Allen, not play a lot of the starters, take it as a second bye week because you're not going to win that game. Not winnable. It's going to be a blowout. That's all I got.
You got it, Mike. This guy's like, we have a really proud team with a really proud head coach. This is an extremely proud town. Oh, the Ravens are coming in? Oh, hell no. We quit. We're just going to forfeit that game. Why even play the game? We've got no shot. You know why? Because you do have a shot. It's a winnable game. And that's that. Stephen S.A., reset that. And he warned Buffalo forfeiting that game. Jim Rome Podcast, Ep 107, going to drop a little later on today. Michael Lombardi joins us, longtime NFL executive. And that's going to be a really good conversation. Look for it. That'll be out in a few hours. My thanks to Bill Clark, Mike Budenholzer, Mike Norvell, my XR4TI crew, and yes, you the clones, who contributed a segment mid-program. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. We're out.